Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah discussed that a lulav, the nikdam roisha, the top of its of the lulav has been cut off, is pasul. Says the Gemara Amar Rav Huna, loy shanu, this halacha, that a lulav, that the top of it was cut off, is pasul, ela nikdam, that the entire top has been cut off. Aval nizdak, if the top of the leaves were nizdak, were split, then the halacha is kosher. Rashi explains nizdak is that the top of the leaves were split open. The Ritva disagrees. And the Ritva says that when the Mishnah speaks about, when the Gemara here speaks about nizdak, Rashi seems to be saying that we look at all the leaves, and if the majority of the leaves are split, then it's a problem. If the majority of the leaves were not to be split, according to Rashi, it would not be an area of concern. But the Ritva disagrees. And Ritva says that just like when we speak about nikdam, we speak about the top leaf and not all the other leaves, so too, says the Ritva, when we speak about nizdak, we're only referring to the top leaf, not to all the other leaves. Ask the Gemara, nizdak kosher? Can we say that a lulav that was split on the top is kosher? Ask the Gemara, lulav kofuf, if the lulav is bent over, covets, if it has thorns coming out of its, out of the lulav, that's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos seems to learn that the definition of covets is that the lulav has like creases in it. Soduk, if the lulav is split. Okum, if it's bent over, if it's not straight, if the lulav is curved. Daimelamagel, and it looks like a saw that is bent. All these cases, pasul. The lulav in all these cases is pasul, because the lulav is not considered a lulav which is hodur. Chorus, if the lulav is very hard, that's the way Rashi learns. Others learn that the definition of lulav is that it's not greenish, but chorus is lashon shochur. That's the way the Ravid learns that the lulav is black. Pasul. Here too, the lulav is pasul. And the reason that it's pasul is because the Torah says, regarding describing the lulav, kapus tamarim. It has to be straight and not, and it could be bent. If it's so tarred that it can't be bent and can't be tied, it's not considered a kosher lulav. Doimel l'chorus, if it started getting hard, but it isn't quite hard yet, kosher. Then the lulav is kosher. Amra papa. So here it says clearly that the lulav, which is soduk, is posel. And here it says that it's kosher. Answers the Gemara. We started the shiur saying that a lulav which is soduk is kosher. And here the Braisa said that a lulav which is soduk is kosher. Answers the Gemara. Amra papa. When the Braisa says that a soduk is posel, is the Ovid Kimnik, that they used to have a type of a piece of equipment that the Soifrim used to use, and it was two sides that were two totally separate. So a lulav is supposed to have one shedra, one spine. But when the lulav is completely has like two spines, that is considered a lulav, which is a hymnic. We learned in the Mishnah, okum dam lamagel, if it's curved like a sickle, then the lulav is pasul. Amara papa, loya marin, when we say that when the lulav is curved, the lulav is pasul, loya marin el lefonav, it's only when it's facing towards the leaves. In other words, we have an lulav, the front and the back. And when the Mishnah says that, when the Gemara is saying that the lulav is curved, is when the front of the lulav, instead of being straight, is curved. Aval achrav, if it's curved In the other direction, Briusahu, that's the way a lulav was meant to be, and a lulav, what's meant to be, is if that's the way it's meant to be, it's kosher. So we learned in our Gemara that a lulav that's made like a hymnic that has like two shedris is possible. And the Magen Avraham explains, quoting Rabbeinu Yerucham, because a lulav that's split into two, explains the Magen Avraham, is like two separate lulavim, and each lulav is a chaser, is not a whole lulav. And the Torah, when it speaks about using a lulav on sukkahs, says v'lekachtem, it has to be a lekicha tama, it has to be a complete lulav. And when it's split into two, it's not considered lekicha tama. That's the explanation that Magen Avraham quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham. But Ritva explains that it's not hodor. The nafkamina is if the issue is that it's chaser, the issue of chaser is only a disqualification on the first day of Sukkot. If, however, the issue is that it's not hodor, a lulav which is not hodor is disqualified for the entire duration of Sukkot. And that's why the two explanations that we just quoted from the Rishonim are so very important. So our Gemara just said that a lulav which is curved is a pasul lulav. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. If you'll take a lulav and that's curved and you'll straighten it out, there'll be some sort of a piece of equipment, will that make the lulav kosher? So there's some Paiskim that suggest that it's kosher. Other Paiskim say that the Shal Shuv Silchus Ketanus Chelik Beis Simen Reish Chof Aleph suggests that such a lulav is kosher. However, there are other paiskim that say that it wouldn't be possible, it wouldn't be kosher. Just like we find by Hilchus Treifus. The halacha by Hilchus Treifus is that if an animal is deemed to be a treifa, nothing can make that animal kosher again. So here too, they want to suggest that once the lulav is disqualified because it's curved, nothing to make it kosher. But there's a raya that it would not be, that it should be kosher. Because with Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be learning in our coming shiurim different disqualifications on an esrig. And one of the disqualifications that we're going to learn on an esrig, if it has a chazozis, it has some sort of a bubble sticking out of the esrig. And we're going to learn that if the chazozis was removed from the esrig, and we can be certain that even though the chazozis was removed from the esrig, that it didn't take off any of the esrig, that the esrig is still whole, then the esrig is kosher. If we'll say that any disqualification that we speak about, when we speak about Hilchus Lulav, the halacha is that once it becomes disqualified, it becomes permanently disqualified, then the halacha should be that even if it was removed, and we're certain that none of the esrog was removed along with it, the halacha ought to be that it's pasul. The fact that the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that it's kosher under those circumstances, then it's a raya that it's that these disqualifications are not to be compared to Hilchus Treifus. Says the Gemara, Amrav Nachman, Letzdodim, what happens if the lulav is curved to the side? Lefanav Dami. It's like it was curved to the front, and it will be posel. V'amrlei, but there's a different version that it's ka'achrav dami, that it's considered like it's curved to the back, and therefore it's kosher. V'amr rava, hay lulav the sol b'chad kutza, that all of the leaves of the lulav grow on one side of the shedra, as we've been discussing, that the lulav is the way a lulav is typically made, is typically looks, is that you have the shedra, you have the spine in the middle of the lulav, and then there are leaves on the two sides. Here, if it's all the leaves are on one side of the spine, that's considered a balmum. That lulav is considered a balmum, and it's pasul. So the Gemara discussed when the curve is to the sides, two different versions, if it's kosher or not. And the Kapos Tamarim says that what is this question? When we say a lulav which is okum, we say if a lulav is curved, it's a balmum. The question is, when it's to the side, what does that mean? That is considered an abnormal lulav. And since that's considered an abnormal lulav, it's possible. Or do we say that a lulav to the side is not considered totally a curve to the side is not abnormal. And since it's not abnormal, it's not considered a balmum, and it would be a kosher lulav. The Rif and the Paiskim say that since this is a shaila, it's a sofik, the Gemara remained with a sofik, and we know that whenever we have a sofik, especially by Chiv deraisa, the mitzvah of Dalaminim, sofik deraisa l'chumra. So we just learned also that if all of the leaves of the lulav are on one side of the shedra, the lulav is pasul. And the reason is because if we don't see leaves on both sides of the lulav, so that's not the way a lulav grows. And therefore explains the Ritva, since that's not the way a lulav normally grows, it's considered not a real lulav, doesn't have the requirements of a lulav, and since it doesn't have the requirements of the lulav, not only is a puzzle, but Ritva says it would be puzzle for all 7 days, because it's not considered a real lulav. But then Ritva quotes others who suggest that the issue with a lulav that has all of the leaves on one side of the shedra is that it's not a hadar, and therefore it may be an issue, maybe less of an issue. Another explanation that the Michtam gives is that the pasuk, the Gemara often quotes the pasuk of Hakrivino lefuchasachom. If you with the goyim, with the umas ha'olam, use this type of a object when they were worshipping their Avodah Zarah. And says the Michtam, he was a Rishon, that the Akum would certainly never bring a lulav that was so abnormal if they had to use a lulav in their service. And therefore, it's inappropriate that we should bring a lulav that is so abnormal that all the leaves are on one side of the shedra. We began our shir today, Baruch Hashem, speaking about a lulav hakafuf. And of course, the posh pshat on lulav hakafuf is that the spine of the lulav is curved. And if the spine of the lulav is curved, we learned in the Gemara, if it's curved to the front, no shaila, that it's a pasul lulav. The Ran, however, has a different interpretation of a lulav hakafuf. He says a lulav hakafuf is that the top leaf, which we know when we're going to discuss more soon in Mitzvah Hashem, is called the Tiyomis, that the Tiyomis is bent over. And if the Tiyomis is bent over, then the halach is that it's posel. And Ran says that even if it's bent in the slightest manner, that lulav is no longer a kosher lulav. But there's a famous opinion from the Rosh that he quotes in his Tshuvas, that he quotes the Ran, and says that a lulav that is curved at the top by the tiyomis, he quotes the Ran who says, as we just learned, that it's possible. So the Rosh says, number one, he doesn't agree with the Ran, because that's not what our Gemara said, and therefore he finds it unacceptable that the Ran should find new chumras, new types of lulavim that the Gemara doesn't say is possible should be possible. And moreover, says the Rosh, there is an advantage in taking a lulav whose top leaf is bent over. Because since that leaf is bent over, it's proof that it's not split at all. And we're going to speak soon about Nechlaka Tayyomis. If the top leaf of this leaf of the lulav, the Tayyomis leaf, is split, what is the halach of the lulav? This lulav, I can be certain, he says, is not split. And therefore, says the Rosh, and the Oyev Yoysalotzespei, I actually prefer to use this type of a lulav, Lefish Eid Ka'alim Nechlakim, the Tayyomis Kayyomis. The Tayyomis is firm and it's great. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Tov Reish Mem Hei Sif Tes Paskins like the Rosh. He says only if the entire lulav is curved, that's when the lulav is possible. But if the Tiyomis is bent over, then it's kosher. The Bach, the Ritvas, however, say that since, as we just learned, the Ran said that we should not use such a type of a lulav, they're machmer not to use that type of a lulav. In the world of Dalaminim, that type of lulav is called a kneppel. It's bent over, and the top leaf is bent over. It's called a kneppel. I saw from Rav Nissen Karelitz Zatzal that Rav Nissen Karelitz Zatzal said that even according to the Rosh, that you should look for this type of a lulav when the lulav is bent over, when the top leaf is bent over, because that's a proof that it's not split at all. He says that's only if there's no covering on top of the lulav. But if the top of the lulav is covered with some material, in Yiddish that material is called kara, so we don't know what's doing with that lulav, and therefore the lulav is, and therefore the lulav should not be used. Because we, the Rosh says, I'm confident that it's completely closed. But if it's covered with this material and we can't really know what's doing under the material, we have to be machmer. I also saw that the Achronim want to suggest that even though we have here Machlokes Ran and Rosh, what to do with a lulav whose top leaf is bent over, the Rosh actually likes that lulav. The Ran says that that lulav is possible, but that's only if it's completely bent over. But they say if the top leaf looks like a vav, so it's not really completely bent over, then the halacha is that even the Paiskim say that the Ran would agree that such a lulav is possible. I saw that they bring that the Chazanish and the Stipler would try to get two lulavim, one without the kneppel, because as the Ran just said, that's not a good lulav. One with a kneppel, because the Rosh said that that's the lulav that he wants to use. And they used to first make the bracha on the lulav that did not have the spent over tiyomis. That's the lulav they made the bracha on. And then they took a second lulav that looked like had the kneppel, the Rosh's lulav, and made and used that also for, to be mekayim, to fulfill what the Rosh said is the type of lulav that he likes to use. We learned in the Mishnah, Nifritzu Olav, that if the leaves were completely broke or split open, it's possible. Nifridu, but they're just separated kosher. Amra Papa, so our Papa, in explaining this halacha, says, Nifritzu, what is the definition of Nifritzu? Dovah kichufya. It looks like a broom, that the leaves are completely separated from the shedra. And once the leaves are completely separated from the shedra, the lulav is possible because it's no longer a hadar. Nifridu, difridu afrudi, that they're separated, they're not that close, but they're not detached. So when the leaves are detached from the shedra, everybody will agree that it's possible. If it's just separated, the halacha is that it's kosher. Boy rapapa. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Nechleku ha-tiyomis. If the top leaf, the tiyomis that we've been discussing in our shir, is split open, mahu, what would be the halacha with the status of that lulav? Toshma, domra moson, omra shumalevi, nitla ha-tiyomis. If the tiyomis is completely missing, then the halacha is the lulav is possible. So the Mefarshim asks, why did he have to mention Tosfos? The very masculine Nikdam asks, why did the Gemara have to mention that if it's nitla, it's possible? We began our shir, and we quoted the Mishnah, that if it's niktam, if it's just chopped off, it's possible. So certainly if it's nitla, if it's removed, it's possible. So Tosfos says that it could be that niktam is worse than missing. Niktam is that it's there, and it's not there nice. It's cut off. Nitla means it's entirely missing. And since it's entirely missing, it's not so noticeable. And therefore, maybe it's kosher. That's why he has to teach us that even nitla is also posel. Nitla tiyom is posel. My love, who adin nechleka. So if Rabbi Shuman Levi says that if it's netl, it's possible, the Gemara wants to say that if it's split, it should have the same din. Says the Gemara, no. Loi, netlo shani, if it's removed, the chasaloi. And as we said earlier in the shir, a lulav and all the dalaminim have to be, may not be chaser, may not be missing. And if it's netla, we have a problem of chaser. Ikadami, Amram Masna, Amram Shuma Levi, Nachlaka Tayoimis, if it's split, Nasa Kamisha Nitla Tayoimis, it has the same status as if it was missing, and the halacha is that it's puzzle. So now we learned one of the most commonly asked issues that we look at when we speak about a lulav. If Nikdem Roshoi, the halacha is if the tip of the lulav was severed, the halacha is that it's possible. And now we also learn the opinion of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi that nechelka tayoimis, if it's the tayoimis is split, it's possible. However, there's a very big machloikis how to define nechelka tayoimis. The Rif explains that the definition of nechelka tayoimis is the lulav whose leaves have been split open. Explains the Ran that according to the Rif, a lulav is only possible because of nechelka tayoimis if the majority of all of the lulav leaves are split. However, if only a few leaves are split, the lulav is kosher. Rashi explains that the tayoimis refers, as we've been learning, to the center leaf that protrudes from the shedra on the top of the lulav. He explains, and according to Rashi, that if this leaf is split all the way down till the shedra, so that even part of the shedra is split, the lulav is possible. But according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, if only the top of the center leaf is split, and not any part of the shedra is split, the lulav is kosher. The Ran also says that the tayoimis refers to the center leaf, but he's more machmer than Rashi. And he holds that a lulav is possible even if the shedra is not split. As long as the upper portion of the tayoimis, that means from when the tayoimis exits the shedra till the top, if most of that portion, most of that area is split, the lulav is possible. The Ritva says that the lulav is possible even just of a small portion of the tayoimis is split. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like the lenient opinion of the Rif, and he only says a lulav is possible if most of the leaves are split open. The Ramah, however, says that our minig is to follow the more stringent opinion, and if a lulav is split, if the tayoimis is split down to the shedra, or most of the way down, the pshat of Rashi and the Rif, then the halacha is that the lulav is possible. However, says the Ramah, one should try to get a lulav that it's kosher even according to the Ritva, and he should take a lulav whose center leaf, whose tayoimis is completely intact. The Taz says that any lulav whose tayoimis is split less than a tefach is considered whole, and according to the Taz, even the Ritva would agree that such a lulav is kosher. The Chai Odom disagrees, and he holds that it's preferable to take a lulav that's completely closed. So says the Gra, that the reason the Ritva says that you're not allowed to take a lulav which is only partially split is because the Ritva is concerned that even though now you only have a small split, it's going to open up more when you shake the lulav on Yontif. And therefore, even if it just has a small split, it's a lulav that ought to be avoided. So I saw that we saw Yanka Fisher of Yerushalayim says, if that's the entire concern, that the Ritva is really agreeing that if it just split a small amount, it's not considered possible, says what you could do is, if you buy a lulav that has the small split, and then you take some glue, and you glue it together. So the lulav is a kosher lulav. You didn't do anything wrong. All you've done is by putting on that glue, you've guaranteed that it won't split on Yontif. Because as the Gra just said, that we're only concerned that it may split on Yontif. And since we now have to be concerned in this case, you've done something to prevent that concern, the halacha is that such a lulav, he says, is kosher l'chatchila. Rav Yehuda Omer, we learned in the Mishnah that a nifdu olive, if the leaves were split or were separated, so Rav Yehuda says you should tie them together. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer Shulam Rav Tarfin. The Torah says regarding the lulav, l'kachtam l'chem b'yoy marishin kapas tamarim. So the word kafas means to tie together. Shimha yaparid. We learn from here that if the lulav was separated, yukafaseno, you should tie it together. So the kapas tamarim seems to say that this is the, seems to learn the Gemara, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Rabbanon, there is no reason to tie them together. However, I saw that the other Rishonim that say that even the Rabbanon agree that you should tie it together. They say it's not required, but they would agree that that's the appropriate to do. And on the other hand, I saw the Bach says the Minig Ha'olam we're going to be discussing about tying the lulav, that they take these rings and you tie the lulav together. So says the Bach, many places have the minig that they specifically on the last day of Shana Rabbah, before they take the lulav by the Shana Rabbah, they take out the rings. Why? Because even though we're putting in rings, we're going to be discussing the halacha of tying the lulav, we want to show that we passing like the Rabbanon. And that the Rabbanon say that the lulav doesn't have to be tied together. So that's why on the last day of Sukkot, before we start taking the bits of dalaminim, we separate, we take off the rings. Also, the Shas of Chivas Binyan Tzion says, del chatchila, one should use a lulav, says the Binyan Tzion, from a tree that's able to give fruit. Because as we just learned in the Gemara, that the definition of a lulav is kapos tamarim, is a tree that gives dates. And therefore, one should try to use a lulav from a female form of the tree, which gives fruit, not from the male version of the palm tree that doesn't give fruit. Amma le Ravina Lavashi, my the high kapos tamarim, the lulav ahu. The Torah, when it speaks about the lulav, is we know it means the, as we're speaking now, about the palm of the date tree. Who says that it's that? And as the Meiri explains the Gemara, because the Meiri is faced with an obvious question, Klai Yisrael has been using lulavim for its entire history. So what's the Gemara asking? How do we know that the lulav is what's used for the mitzvah of dalaminim? So says the Meiri, what the Gemara means to ask is, of course we know that this is what we should use for the lulav. What the Gemara wants to know is there any source in the Torah that points us directly to this and not to anyone else? Eim charusa, maybe it's the branch of the tree that after a number of years gets hard and it gives out and it has leaves. Says the Gemara, Bina, when it's the branch, it has to be, as we just learned, the lulav has to be in a way that it's kofos, that it's tied together. If you don't have these separate leaves coming out, that's not what the Torah meant. Veima ufsa, ask the Gemara, maybe it's something from the trunk of the tree. Kofos mechlal dekaparid. Again, it has to be something that could be separate, and now it's together. V'hai kofos v'oim eloilim, it's completely together always. Ask the Gemara, Veima kofra, and the kufra, the Rishonim explain, is the same as the charusa, but the charusa is when the tree is older, and this is when the tree is younger. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai, Durchad, Dachinayim, V'chon, Nesiv, V'sav, Shalom. The Torah wants us to do mitzvahs in a way that it's pleasant. These leaves are sharp and pointy, and since they're sharp and pointy, they're different, they're difficult to use, and since the difficult to use, that's not what the Torah must have meant when it told us to do a mitzvah. Amalei Rava Tosfala Ravina Ve'ema L'tati Kaf D'Tamri. Maybe we should take a lulav that has on it the fruit still. Answers the Gemara Kapais, one, not two. Ve'ema Chada. Maybe you should not have to take two branches with fruit, but one. Answers the Gemara, Hahu, if it's only one, kaf karile. So it must be the lulav with many leaves, but no fruit. We learned in the Mishnah that sine hara barzo are ksheira. Amar bai, lo shanu, el shirosh shozeh, magil etzad ikru shozeh. When is the lulav a kosher lulav? When one leaf touches the next leaf. But if the leaves don't touch each other, Avam ein roish shozeh magil etzad ikru shozeh pasul. Tanya namihachin says the Gemara. So did we learn in a brisa? Says the Gemara because we learned in a brisa. Tzinehar bazel psula. Ask the Gemara. Here we're learning that it's pasul hanan tanan. But haven't we learned in our Mishnah that it's ksheira? El shema minak abaya. It must be like Abaya just gave an answer. It depends. If the leaves touch each other or not. If they touch each other, it's kosher. If it doesn't touch each other, it's pasul. Says the Gemara, Ika de Marmalei Mirma. And that those that learn this Gemara, not the way that we're learning now, that's a statement, a qualification regarding the kashrus of the Tzinei Har Basel, but rather the way they learn it with a question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Tzinei Har Basel kosher. Asked the Gemara Tanya, but then we learn in a Braisa that it's Psula. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? To which Abaye answers, Loikasha. Kasha Rosh Shazeh Magil Etzad Ikru Shazeh. If they touch each other, then it's Kasher. Kasha Ein Rosh Shazeh Magil Etzad Ikru Shazeh. When they don't touch each other, then it's Pasul. What's the difference between the two versions of the Gemara? According to the first version, Abaye was telling us a rule. Abaye had a Kabbalah that the rule is that if the leaves don't touch each other, the lulav is pasul. According to the second version, Abaye said it not because he necessarily had a Kabbalah that that's the halacha. He just had this contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa that he needed to reconcile. And what would be the nafkamina, says the Kapos Tamarim, if it's only here as an answer to a question. If we'll find another answer, then we'll use that. Then this answer won't necessarily be correct. If, however, a bias statement, if a bias statement was a Kabbalah that this is the halacha, then the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference. It's going to be pasul under all circumstances. Amr Marion, Amr Mishum Levi, Amr Le Tani Rabbi Ba Mary, Mishum Rabbi Yochum Zakai, Shtei Tamaris, Yesh, Begay Ben Henem. There's a place in Yerushalayim called Gay Ben Henem, where they have two of these palm trees, Va'ila Oshim Ben Eim, and smoke comes out between these two trees, Vezer Shishaninu, and this is the place, Tzinahar Basel Ksheris, the Tzinahar Basel Akosha for Lulav, and Zui Pesach Shogahenem. So, of course, I saw many Mefarshim want to understand the connection between the Tzinei Har Basel and Gehenim. So, one pshat that I saw from the Sefer Aryeh Shog, a beautiful pshat. Our Gemara just said that the Tzinei Har Basel may be used for lulav, but it's only usable under certain circumstances. Furthermore, the Mishnah uses the word ksheiros. When the Mishnah uses the word ksheiros, means they may be used, but that's not yilchatchila de gelulav. Says the Sefer Aryeh Shog, what is our Gemara teaching us? There's the right way to do a mitzvah, and there's the bedieved form of doing a mitzvah. Yes, we're learning in our Gemara that if you have a lulav, that is a tzinei har barzel, if the leaves touch each other, the lulav is going to be a kosher lulav. However, says the Gemara, that's Pesach Shel Gehenim. When a person looks for shortcuts and had to perform a mitzvah. He doesn't do a mitzvah in the chatchila the fashion. He's looking to say, okay, the lulav, the tzinei har basil, it may not be the best lulav, but it's a kosher lulav, it'll be good enough. Zuhi pischa shel gehenim. This is where Gehenna begins. This is when people start acting in such a way, then the halacha is that it's not acceptable. Another pshat that I saw from Shlomo Kluger is that the Gemara is saying that Rishoyim afilo a pischa shel gehenim. Rishoyim, even when they see gehenim, when they see all sorts of problems facing them, they still don't do tshuva. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Tzinei harabarzel. The tzinei harabarzel, if somebody's strong like barzel and he's not willing to accept the dvar Hashem, zuhi pischel shel gehenim. The Chasam Sofer has a different approach to this Gemara. He says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Hay Omer Aleph discusses that there were tzaddikim, they were mekayim the whole Torah. They fulfilled everything it said in the Torah from Aleph Vatov, but they were punished because they didn't teach other people what the right thing to do is. And that's what the Gemara says. Tzinei harbarzel, if you have a place where one person doesn't touch the other person, where in our lives we don't have influence, where we don't have a positive influence one on the other, Zui Pesach Gehenim. That's where Gehenim comes from. It is our obligation, not just to do what's right, but it's our obligation to try to help make sure that everybody does what's right. So we learned in the Mishnah that a lulav sheesh by shlosh tefachim, if a lulav is three tefachim tall that you could shake with it, the halacha is kasher. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Shir Hadas Varova, the length of an Hadas and a Rova are three tefachim. Lulav is arba, and the shear of the lulav is four tefachim. Kedei shiyei lulav yoytze men hadas tefach. In order that the lulav should be higher than the hadasim tefach. Rapanach amar Rabbi Yochanan shidrush lulav. It's not just the top part of the lulav that has to be a tefach above the hadasim. It's the spine of the lulav already that has to be a tefach above the hadasim, tzorach shemidas tefach. It has to be, that part has to be above. So Ritva explains, what's the machloikus? He says that the shedra, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is part of the lulav. And therefore, if there's a halacha that the lulav has to be a tefach taller than the hadasim, so then the shedra already has to be a tefach above the hadasim. Whereas according to Shmuel, the part that's considered the lulav are the leaves that shake. And therefore only that part has to be a tefach above the lulav. Above the hadasim. As the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, lulav sheish b'shlosh tefachim, kedei lananeba kosher. So it seems that a lulav has to be only three tefachim. Here both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan said that the lulav has to be four tefachim. Answers the Gemara Ema. The way to understand the Mishnah is Kedei Lenaneba. The Kedisley, Mar Kedisley Shmuel, like he holds, Mar Kedisley. So the Gemara is saying is that they both agree that the Mishnah is teaching us that the Lulav has to be at least a Tefach above that Dasim in order to do Nanuim. So I saw that the Meiri asks, the Halacha is, we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem and Daf Lamed Zayin, that if you didn't do Nanuim with your dalaminim, if you just picked up your dalaminim, you're mekayim the mitzvah. So if that's the case, asked the Miri, why should it make a difference if you can do nanuim or not? The whole din of doing nanuim is not absolutely essential. So the Miri says that what the Gemara means to say is not that the nanuim are essential. The Gemara is speaking hilchos shiurim, and the Gemara is teaching us that the shear of a lulav, this is the height of a lulav. Not that the Mishnah is teaching us that you have to do nanuim. It's just using the nanuim as a way of understanding what is the length of the lulav. Davnei Nezer, in the Shas Chuf Davnei Nezer Simen Lamed Tes, says that we have a rule throughout Shas Kol aroy lebila ein bila ma'keves ba. The kosh ein roy lebila ein bila ma'keves ba. The loch is, what is the maximum size of a carbon mincha we could bring? So the Gemara often quotes in Shas that it only could be brought in the keli, that it could be mixed. The question is, the mixing of the ingredients of the carbon mincha is not essential. So if the mixing of the ingredients of the carbon mincha is not essential, why is that the factor? So Gemara says, even though it's not essential, it has to be brought in a way that it could be mixed. And therefore, even though it wasn't mixed, as long as it's brought in a way that it could be mixed, the carbon mincha is kosher. The same thing here. You don't have to do nanum, says Davni Nezer, to be mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim. But you have to be able to do nanum. So if your lulav is sticking out above your hadassim and aravis, and then you could do nanuim. So the halacha is that even though you didn't do the nanuim, the lulav is kosher. But if the way your lulav is, if your lulav is a type of lulav where nanuim would not be doable, then the halacha is the lulav is possible. Toshima. So the Gemara asks a question on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Braisa teaches us shir hadas v'arava. The size, the length of the hadassim arava are shlosh tefachim, lulav arba, and the lulav is four tefachim. My love, b'hadi alim. When it says lulav, it means four tefachim that with the leaves, not with the shedra. Says the Gemara loy. That's not the way he's going to interpret the brisa, but rather the way he's going to interpret the brisa is levad mi alim. Besides the alim, you have to have four tefachim. You have to have a tefach of shedra above the hadassim and alavim. Says the Margufa, shir hadas v'arava, the shir of the hadassim and the aravis are shloisha. The lulav is arba tefachim. Retarfet oimer ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that what Reb Tarfet means to say is that the length of the hadassim and the aravis have to be five tefachim. Amar Rava, to which Rava comments, Shorle Mario Reb Tarfet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be meichel him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive for what he just said. Hashta, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halachas of hadassim. And the halacha of hadassim is that they have to be ovis, they have to be braided, they have to look three leaves around each stem. Shloisha mashkechinen, to find a hadassim that are perfectly ovis, that are three tefachim long, is very difficult to find. Now, ask the Gemara Bas Chamisha Liboyer, now you're going to tell me that we have to look for hadassim that are five tefachim long? Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he had a different interpretation in what Rav Tarfon meant. And he said that Rav Tarfon did not mean to say that Dasim Arovis are five tefachim long. Of course, he agrees that all the Hadassim Arovis have to be are just three tefachim long. But he did have a chumrah versus the Tanakama. What he said was, Amma Bashisha tefachim, Aseyesa Bashisha. When we take an Amma, so normally an Amma is made up of six tefachim. He says the Amma that we use and the tefachim that we use to measure the Hadassim Arava are made into five. That means if we start with six tefachim and we divide that into five, every tefach is going to be a tefach and a fifth of a tefach. If we take six and we divide it into five, we're going to have one and one fifth. And what the Gemara is saying is that three tefachim, which means three and three fifths, tzeimem shlosh l'hadas, that's the length of a hadassim, v'shar, and the rest we learned, the tefach extra is a luluf. So says the Gemara. So as we just said, if that's the way we're going to measure the tefach to be used for hadassim, kama havlu, how long will the hadassim be? Telos over telos chumshi, three and three fifths. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the way we measure the hadassim, the length of the hadassim, ask the Gemara, kasha the Shmuel the Shmuel, we're going to have a contradiction in the opinion of Shmuel. Hocham Rav Yudam Shmuel, shir hadas v'arava. Shloisha. We've been learning in our shir that Shmuel holds that the length of the Adasim is 3 tefachim. Hasam, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Allah, Rav Tarfin. But we learned elsewhere that Shmuel agrees with Rav Tarfin. And according to Rav Tarfin, that Adasim ought to be 3 3/5 long. And it says the Gemara, Loidok. He wasn't exact. It really, when he said 3, it really meant 3 3/5. Ask the Gemara, Eimadamina Loidok, when do we have this concept in Shas, that sometimes a Tana and a Maira are not exact, that's L'chumra. That they round off to a higher number, L'kula mi'amrinan, but that they round off to a lower number, L'idak. And the explanation, of course, is very simple. If you're going to round off to a lower number, and you're going to end up using a lower number, let's use our Gemara as an example, you're going to take Adasim that are only 3 tefachim long, you won't be yotze the mitzvah. Because the minimum, as Rav Tarfon is teaching us, is that it has to be 3 3/5. So nobody's going to round off to the lower number. And therefore, Kiyasa Rav and Omar, he had a different explanation. Am bas chamish tefachim. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, under certain circumstances, when it came to build the Kli HaMikdash, the Kelim of the Mikdash, they didn't use an Amma made up of 6 Tfachim. They rather used an Amma made up of 5 Tfachim. And that 5 Tfachim, Aseya Shish. Divide 5 by 6. If we divide by 5 by 6, Tseimem Shlosh Ladas, that's the shear of the Lulav. Vashar, that's the shear of the Shlosh Tfachim for Adasim. Vashar, an extra Tefach for Lulav. So according to this explanation, Kamala Havalahu, if we're taking off, if we're dividing 5 into 6, we're going to have smaller tfachim. And that's the case, Kama Havalahu, how long does the Hadasim have to be if we use regular length? Treya Palga. It's only going to have to be 2.5 long. Because 3 tfachim are a half an amma. And if we're going to say that we're using a 5 tfachim de gamma, so we have to use a half an amma. Half of 5 is 2.5 tfachim. So that's the length that Rav Tarfon will require. And according to this understanding, Rav Tarfon actually is teaching us a leniency, that the 3 tfachim that we use for the Hadasim really are what's normally only 2.5 tfachim. But ask the Gemara, Saif Saif, Kasha de Shmuel de Shmuel. According to this, that Adasim need only be 2.5 tefachim long. But Shmuel said, on one hand, that the Hadasim have to be 3 tefachim long, and on the other hand, he passes like Rav Tarfon, to which the Gemara says, Loidok, that he wasn't being exact, he was rounding off, v'hainu l'chumra loidok, that he was rounding off l'chumra, that actually all the Hadasim have to be, at Aravis, just have to be 2.5 tefachim long, and he rounded off to 3 tefachim, and that's what the Gemara meant to say, and really 2.5 should be adequate, but he rounded off and said, use Hadasim that are 3 tefachim.